So, we're recording. Welcome to the Arcade Era Power Hour, episode 2, with guest host Milo.
Greetings.
So, yeah.
I'm Milo.
Nope, go ahead.
I'm Milo. How's it going? I'm from the DK Vine Forum, which is how I met Gibbon. And he updates a very interesting thread there about all the Arcade Era stuff, which he spun off into DK Gota. And so, yeah.
Yeah. Hasn't actually been a whole lot to report on that recently, unfortunately. Kind of hoping there will be something new with the Nintendo amusement park stuff, because I'm assuming that any Donkey Kong amusements will be more on the Mario versus Donkey Kong side than the Donkey Kong Country side.
But yeah, or just straight 8-bit nostalgia type stuff, like in Nintendo Land, or
plus that'll just give me a good excuse to go to an amusement park in a different country.
Oh yeah,
yeah. But anyway,
it's got a lot of good retro gaming shops too.
Yeah, it does. So for this episode, I figured we could kind of go over Stanley the Bugman and Donkey Kong 3, since it doesn't get a whole lot of love around the internet.
It's true.
It'd be nice to just have sort of a comprehensive, not really a retrospective, but just sort of a overview. I don't know. But yeah. There's actually a lot more than I thought there was going to be when we were sitting down to research what to cover on this episode.
Yeah. So, a Stanley Spectacular.
Yeah, yeah. Celebrating what? Like, oh man, 36 years of Stanley the Bugman. Not quite 36. 34 years of Stanley the Bugman. Yeah.
Do you think he's going to get a big 35th anniversary, series of concerts, Amiibo line?
At least an Amiibo line, if not two.
I hope so. Yeah, one with them shooting his gun up, one of them shooting his gun to the side.
And I mean, you gotta go through all the different recolors and the 8-bit version and, like, the GameCube version.
Are we gonna talk about all that?
Maybe, I guess.
Colors, yes.
Yeah. I mean, we gotta fill time somehow. So, I guess Stanley's adventures, for as far as Nintendo is concerned, start back in December of 1982, when they released a Game & Watch title called Greenhouse.
And, Green Space House.
Green Space House. I love how Nintendo sort of names things like Ladies Golf with no apostrophe. Yeah, Greenhouse. Yeah. It's one of the dual screen games from the dual screen line of Game & Watches, and it's pretty simple. You play as the Fumigator.
So it's the same format as the Donkey Kong Game & Watch.
Yeah, same format. Same amount of buttons too, I believe. Just D-pad and a jump button. And you just moved Stanley up and down the ladders of the greenhouse between the top screen and the bottom screen, protecting his plants from spiders and inchworms. Not a whole lot to it. A couple different plants to protect on various parts of the screen. The alarm feature in this game was Stanley's cat. The alarm is him getting woken up, being stung by a bee. This cat is never seen from again. I assume the bees killed it.
Oh, harsh. But it always comes back for the alarm, right?
Oh, that's fair. I don't know. It's never seen again after this game, unless, like, the bee stings mutated it and it ended up being Cat of Nine Tails in DKC2.
It just grew more tails?
I don't know. Like, I see this black and white LCD cat, and I just assume it's purple for some reason. So I
was going to say we should name the cat, but...
We should name the cat, assuming it doesn't have an official name.
How about Catly?
Actually, in the manual, it is referred to as Cat with a capital C. It's not the cat, it's Cat should appear when alarm is set. So the cat's name is Cat.
Stanley's just not very imaginative.
Yeah. But yeah.
It works for me.
So this is one of those Gibbon, rare instances of something showing up first and being imported into this Donkey Kong series later.
Yeah, so now Gibbon, some people might say that the character in Game & Watch Greenhouse is not actually Stanley the Bugman. He's simply called Fumigator in the manual.
That's a good point, and I believe Mario Wiki brings that up as a footnote for why they don't have a page for Greenhouse. There was the commercial advertisement, which this YouTube video says aired in 1983. And do you wanna handle this one?
It calls him Stanley the Bugman.
Yeah. It's just a, you know, early 80s animated thing. Shows Greenhouse as one of the games it's advertising, and specifically refers to him as Stanley the Bugman.
Is it Stanley the Bugman, or is it just Stanley? No, it's just Stanley. It says, Stanley is going bugging.
Fair enough. So,
yeah.
But it refers to him as Stanley, so...
Yes.
We can reasonably infer that this is the same character.
Yeah. I mean, I'd point out that straight away after it is, you know, Mario and Pauline and Luigi. Mario and Pauline look kind of similar to how they appear in the Saturday Supercade cartoon show.
Actually, yeah, I wonder if this was animated by the same people who did that.
It doesn't look like it's the exact same people, but the character design is reminiscent, I would say.
That's fair.
And Stanley, of course, Stanley is going bugging. Appears as he did on the cover of Greenhouse, that is, with a red shirt, a white hat, and brown hair.
No facial hair. He's never had facial hair. Unlike Mario, who went through some early periods of shaving and then regretting it. Stanley's never had facial hair. So, yeah.
Well, maybe he had a little goatee that we never saw in his earlier years.
That's quite possible. But yeah. So, yeah, that's Stanley's debut. Unassuming little game.
Yeah, it was actually remade in one of the Game & Watch Gallery games. I think it's number 3.
Yes.
That has nothing to do with Stanley. It's replaced by a Yoshi's Island kind of skin where Yoshi's stopping fly guys and monkeys from I guess stealing flowers as well. Yeah.
Yeah. They kind of did that in the modern, quote-unquote modern versions of the Game & Watch Gallery titles, because they did that with like the DK games too. They replaced Pauline with Peach and the enemies with like Goombas and stuff, so
that's kind of regrettable that
I don't know, I think it's kind of interesting from a sort of perspective of like this is the post DK 94 versions of like DK Senior and Junior, so having them be more like integrated with Mario, but
it does mess with the timeline a little bit. That's the problem. I mean, as a Yoshi's Island fan, I do like having the Greenhouse have a Yoshi kind of skin, but in this case that we're talking about now, you know, any loss of Stanley is a tragedy.
It is a tragedy. He doesn't show up in a whole lot of things, like more stuff than I initially imagined, but still not as much as I'd like.
Greenhouse also appeared in... Well, it was re-released in the Game & Watch collection for Club Nintendo thing on the DS.
Yeah, it was.
And also, there was a Greenhouse micro game in WarioWare DIY, which just replicates the top screen of the Game & Watch system.
There have been some interesting micro games with the old arcade and early stuff. But Greenhouse wasn't one of them.
DIY, it was limited by only being able to use the touchscreen and
they did
having to be made in the in-game creation engine. Like,
that's fair.
I mean, the microgames you get in there, they aren't as complex as the ones you get in Touched.
Yeah, but they also, they branched out a bit more on their sources because, like, you do get Greenhouse and, like, you get Shantae minigame in that one, I believe.
That's true. It's a downloadable one, but it was promoted by Nintendo.
Yeah. So, just further fueling my belief that WayForward should do the next Wario Land game. But anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Getting a little off topic.
Yes.
But I guess tangents are just sort of traditional in this community of podcasts.
Well, you kept pretty on topic in the first episode, but that was just you.
Yeah, that was just me rambling about stuff and on topic because I was the one who got to decide what the topic was every 5 minutes. So
true enough.
Yeah, so December 1982, nice Christmas gift. Stealth Christmas gift, Stanley's debut.
Woo.
Yeah.
Okay, so now the Stanley, proper of course, debut.
Came back and struck it big in arcades in October of the following year in Donkey Kong 3, which was a couple months after the Mario Bros. Arcade game. So Mario had sort of divorced from Donkey Kong franchise at that point and started branching off into his own thing. So we had Donkey Kong 3, sans Mario, and it was DK basically inserted as a boss character into an arcade version of Greenhouse, for lack of a better explanation. It's actually built a little bit on top of one of their earlier arcade games. It uses the basic framework, I believe, from Space Firebird in 1980, which was their sort of take on Galaga.
I was going to say, Donkey Kong 3 is a sort of hybrid of a platformer and a shooter.
Yeah, yeah, it's one of those sort of, not Space Invaders, Galaga's probably the closest contemporary one, but where you've got the ship at the bottom and you're shooting up at the waves of enemies coming down in various patterns from the top. But inside of a ship, you're controlling Stanley, and you platform around the various levels of the greenhouse, shooting the various insects that fly down, trying to steal your plants, with Donkey Kong at the top, front and center, sort of like jostling the beehives and pissing off the insects and sending them off to attack you. And there's two different ways to complete any given level in the game, and that's either drive DK out of the greenhouse by shooting him enough that he just escapes, or defeat all the waves of enemies.
Okay.
So,
There's different level configurations, right?
So, yeah, there's three different greenhouses, and it just cycles between them.
Yeah.
Unlike the American version of Donkey Kong 1, which did an alternate sort of staggered order.
Right, you had to sort of unlock levels by going through the game.
It follows the more Japanese style of just cycling through the levels endlessly.
Yeah, and in the third level variation, when you're spraying up at Donkey Kong and he goes all the way up to the top, his head gets stuck in a beehive, right?
Yeah, his head gets stuck in a beehive and you get the win animation where he falls down and Stanley does a little jig that he's, you know, defeated his nemesis.
Hilarious.
I think we need an emoticon of Stanley doing his jig on the forums.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Yeah. It's got some other differences from the previous Donkey Kong arcade titles. It never actually got its own machines. It was marketed as a conversion kit. So they'd sell you the panel art and the board, and you'd have to convert another machine into a Donkey Kong 3 machine. And it's also got some things like in Donkey Kong 1 and Junior, you could sort of go infinitely until you hit the buffer overrun and crashed the game and got a kill screen. Whereas in Donkey Kong 3, there's actually a like maximum number of cycles you can go through and a maximum number of lives and stuff you can get. So that's also a little different. And that's probably just because it was built on top of a different engine. On top of the Space Firebird engine, as opposed to like Donkey Kong Jr., which used the base code from Donkey Kong, which Nintendo got in a lot of trouble for because they didn't actually own that, which is probably why they did something from scratch for this one.
That's right. So yeah, Ikegami helped them program the first game. Does that copyright sort of snarl of mess, does that carry over to Donkey Kong Jr. as well?
I think that's what initially started the whole kerfuffle, is they used it as a base to build Donkey Kong Jr. Without contracting Ikigami, which
I see.
Ikigami was like, hey now, wait a fucking minute. So, Ikigami, of course, being the board manufacturer that they contracted out to actually program the first Donkey Kong game.
Yep.
It was very common for companies to do this, except I think Nintendo was one of the few that actually got into legal troubles with them.
Yeah, it was such early days that they didn't know how to handle that, the legal side of that, I guess. And that legal situation is part of the reason why any re-releases after that time are always the NES version, right?
Yeah, yeah. Even for Donkey Kong 64, the arcade game, in that they reverse engineered. It's not just a port of the arcade title. They actually built it from scratch. There's
exactly
some differences that are argued about on the Donkey Kong forums.
Oh, that's interesting.
Same with the anniversary edition they released on the 3DS download. It's the NES version with some updated art.
Yeah, it's a hack of the NES version.
Yeah, it's a hack of the NES version, basically.
Yeah. So, speaking of NES versions, so Donkey Kong 3 got a NES release as well, obviously.
Yeah.
But it wasn't quite, you know, the success that the first one and Junior were, because they were packed in together, weren't they? Donkey Kong Classics Collection.
Yeah, Donkey Kong Classics Collection, which actually replaced Donkey Kong, Kaioteka Donkey Kong? There was Kaioteka Mario Bros, which was Mario Bros with... I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. The Return of Mario Bros, which was Mario Bros with extra stuff, and they'd actually announced a Return of Donkey Kong from the same people, but it was quietly removed from the release schedule, and Donkey Kong Classics came out in its release spot. So whether that was the same thing, or like plans fell through, or what, it's kind of unknown. They don't really talk about it. But the end result of that was Donkey Kong 3 got its own release later that wasn't part of the pack-in. Donkey Kong 3 has been kind of excluded from other re-releases like that. There was a, was it Namco or Konami that they licensed out arcade stuff to? But they did a 3-in-1 arcade machine that was sort of billed as the original Mario trilogy. And it was Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong Jr., and Mario Bros. In one arcade machine, as opposed to like the original Donkey Kong trilogy, which would have been DK Jr. and 3 sort of thing. So Mario is obviously the focus. They don't even feature Donkey Kong 3 in the Mario character encyclopedia. So there's no
place
for Stanley.
So that's part of why, because Mario is not in it. That's a lot of the reason why Donkey Kong 3 gets ignored a lot.
Junior's not in it either, but sprites for him are in the game. And for a while, people just kind of assumed it was leftover code from DK Jr. But if you examine the sprites, they're actually new sprites. They're not sprites of Junior from DK Jr. So he was originally going to be in Donkey Kong 3. I assume just playing sort of a side role, like climbing up vines and getting in your way and stuff. So, because his sprites are sort of like him on a vine looking sad. So, yeah. I mean, you know,
I guess
bees everywhere, and there's this guy shooting you with gas. Yeah.
Maybe they cut him to because, you know, he was the good guy in the last game. And
that's fair.
It would have made Donkey Kong more sympathetic, but they wanted him in the straight antagonist role.
Yeah, I can see that. Also, like, the screen's really cluttered with stuff going on. Like, it is a like a shoot 'em up thing, so if you were going to add Junior to that, it would just be, like, another thing to pay attention to.
It's even more cluttered in the NES version, because it's vertically squished. There was more resolution vertically in the arcade version. Did you ever play the arcade version?
Yeah, I've actually only played the NES version a couple times, and I primarily have played the arcade version.
Right.
So,
I'm a bit younger than you, so I don't, like, I never played it at an arcade, at least not until more recently when they have multi-arcade machines.
Yeah. I've never played it at an actual arcade. I've only played it on, just computer stuff. I've got some, like,
emulators?
No, there's some like Given. I guess technically, yeah, they're emulators, but they're like
How dare
officially
you?
supported emulators.
Oh, okay.
And I've
Yeah,
got
I'm
some like USB arcade sticks from like when I was big into fighting games and was vaguely contemplating going to Evo. But
I was going to say, I've never played the arcade version myself. I'm only familiar with the NES version, and that's only through some early emulation. I mean, back in the day, a friend gave to me a stack of ROMs on a floppy disk, and the classic NES emulator, Nesticle, which was
I remember
whose
that.
icon was a scrotum.
Was that what that was? Okay.
Oh, yeah. It's a terrific pun. Yes. Very clever.
Oh, I guess also, unlike Donkey Kong and Junior, DK3 did not receive ports to every conceivable platform that could play a video game.
Ah, very true. Yes.
So it's pretty much just the arcade version and the NES version.
Because there were a ton of home computer platforms, and back in those early days, Nintendo would license out their games to be ported to them all.
Yeah, I've got Donkey Kong on like six different platforms. But I've only got the NES cart for DK3. So.
Yeah, that's some good collages of sprites of Donkey Kong and Mario from all the like Atari and ColecoVision versions. And some of them were a little bit off.
I kind of wish the people who have been doing all of the like redos of the like Coleco and Atari and home versions of Donkey Kong and Donkey Kong 2 or Junior would do DK3, but they seem more concerned with like doing home versions of like D2K and DK Remix as well. Just because, I guess, because you know you've already got all the assets lying there because you already did Donkey Kong, so you might as well do Jumpman Returns and Remix. It'd be nice if somebody got around to doing DK3. And if it wasn't me, because I'm lazy. So I've got
Speaking
enough side
of those
projects
home...
I'll never finish.
Speaking of the home computer ports, that's a good segue into the computer sequel. But I do want to cover very quickly the coloration of Stanley, because that's something I want to talk about with each of these games.
We've also got the Game & Watch release between it and the sequel.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, we'll do that. We'll go chronologically.
Okay.
But anyway, the colors, at first we've got the flyer for Donkey Kong 3, where Stanley's got sort of light brown hair, blue shirt, and red overalls. So that's the same coloration that Mario had in the early days, right?
Yeah.
Interesting. Is there a connection?
Actually, in the arcade Wrecking Crew art, Mario and Luigi don't have mustaches. So they look very similar to how Stanley does here.
No, that's weird. Imagining them without mustaches, that's very strange.
I believe it's because the decision to actually make them Mario and Luigi didn't happen till the port to NES happened, but yeah. So, where does the famous white and blue color scheme come from, Milo?
The blue and white color scheme, yes. Everyone knows that Stanley is colored blue and white, don't they?
I mean, that's how he looks in the Smash trophy.
That's true.
And he's got the orange overall, orange, yellow, I don't know, I'm colorblind, overalls and blue shirt in Saturday Supercade.
Yes. Well, a problem with that is that the, you know, conversion we have from VHS tapes has degraded significantly.
Yeah.
So any YouTube rips you see of Saturday Supercade are not probably how it was made.
And then he's got is it white overalls and blue shirt in-game in Donkey Kong 3.
For the NES.
And then on the cover of Greenhouse, he's just got a red shirt. And the TV advert has beige pants for that getup, and it's not overalls.
Yes, correct. So, sorry, I'm not sure if you just said that on the NES version. He doesn't actually have sleeves in the NES version.
Oh, really?
He's got bare arms and white overalls.
Oh, man. Getting that, but, that Wario fashion sense in early.
Yeah, but blue hair. So that's not represented in any artwork.
To be fair, I think Mario had like different colorations in like every iteration up through Super Mario World, which sort of standardized the modern look. But
yeah. All right. So the thing about Stanley's colors is in the arcade flyer, he's got red overalls, blue sleeves, blue shirt, and brown hair. In game, it's the same in the arcade version. Yes. Red overalls, blue shirt, brown hair. However, there is a power-up, like a super spray thing.
Yeah, which, super spray can.
Yeah, and that changes his color. Well, I guess it only changes his shirt, because he's still got a red overalls on, but his shirt turns yellow, and that's how you know. Super power spray. Woo. Yeah, so that's his version of, like, Fire Flower Mario or whatever.
Yeah.
It doesn't make him invincible or anything, does it?
No, it's just, super spray.
So. He's always got yellow shoes, looks like. So yeah, that's the real solution to the real colors of Stanley. Of course, you know, in the NES version, they change it due to, I guess, power limitations and stuff. So he has white overalls and no shirt, actually. He's got bare arms, but he's got blue hair in the NES version. Even though the artwork on the, or well, at least the EU and Japanese versions of the NES game just take art from the arcade flyer.
Yeah, but the other games do that too, so it's whatever.
Yes, yeah, that's exactly right.
And then again, he had different colors in the DK3 sequel, but we're not there yet.
Okay. Yeah. So we're up to Game and Watch, right?
Yeah, Game and Watch. Donkey Kong 3 Game and Watch, which came out in August of 1984. So, 10 months after the arcade release, we got Game and Watch, which was one of the multiplayer Game and Watches. Mm. Which they had a word for those. Give me a second, and I can tell you what it was.
Versus system?
Yeah. Micro versus system, because the versus system was the multiplayer arcade machines, yeah, such as Wrecking Crew. The micro versus system was actually an ingenious little thing. I like them. Mm. I would not be at all displeased if the NX followed this just pattern and was like, fuck it, we're micro system now.
What, with tiny little hockey puck controllers?
Yeah. So it's one long screen lengthwise. And it's two controllers that are attached via wires to the Game & Watch. And what it's kind of hard to tell from just looking at this is that the system actually opened up like a case that you could put the controllers in. So these weren't just sort of dangling free all the time. And you could also just take out one controller if you wanted to play the one-player version of the game and have Donkey Kong controlled by AI.
Hmm.
But whereas the plot of Donkey Kong 3 for arcade was protect Stanley's greenhouse from Donkey Kong as he and his marauding bugs and Donkey Kong try to steal the plants. Or I guess more accurately, it's marauding bugs try to steal the plant and Donkey Kong just gets in the fucking way. The plot of Donkey Kong 3 for Game & Watch is...
in the greenhouse. Yeah. Donkey Kong and Stanley are frantically fighting off bees to defend their garden and each force the bees towards their rival's side. So it's implying that Donkey Kong controls an area of the garden and Stanley controls another area within the greenhouse.
Yeah, so I guess Donkey Kong gained some ground and they've just been at this for a while.
So despite the seemingly conclusive ending to Donkey Kong 3, there was more to the story.
Well, you know, we've seen how DK just kind of gets up and keeps kicking ass in previous arcade titles, so I wouldn't be at all surprised if he just kind of got up and was like, you know, Gorberger style, this is my greenhouse now, if anybody gets that reference.
I do not, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Okay, a little esoteric.
Tangents.
That's all flat. But yeah, it's a lengthwise screen, and on one side you've got DK, and on the other side you've got Stanley, and they can kind of go... there's three levels, so they've got the top, middle, and bottom, and they kind of go up and down, and using their fumigators, which they occasionally have to refuel, just sort of push the bees back and forth at each other. And if you stay on one level too long, I believe like a fireball or something comes rocketing off to knock you off your high horse or something. I might be imagining that. But yeah. So it's kind of interesting.
I believe that happens in the Game & Watch remake, but not the original.
Not the original? Okay.
Not from what I can see in the manual. I don't know.
But yeah, nice head-to-head gameplay. Cool stuff going on there.
Putting them on equal ground. I mean, it doesn't. This game doesn't make any sort of value judgment over who's the good guy and the bad guy.
DK apart displaying from his great ape intelligence using tools against his enemy.
Totally. I mean, I should say that player one is by default Stanley, right?
Yeah, player one is on the right and is by default Stanley, and player two is the left-hand controller and plays
yeah,
DK.
Yeah, so the controllers, the little pucks that come out of the system, are labeled one and two, but can you pull out two and just use it against a CP1?
That's a good question, actually.
Obviously, neither of us have a copy of this unit because it's very rare and expensive.
But yeah, usually the manuals tell you which different games you can play. Nope, there's just Game A and Game B.
Yeah, it does say that Game A, where Stanley is controlled by, is operated by controller one. That's what the manual says. Yeah, okay.
So play as DK mode. You gotta wait till, like, Greenhouse Tropical Freeze to get your play as the helper mode.
Yep. I was gonna ask about the alarm cat, but no, it's just a bell. Too bad. Yeah.
Also, just coincidentally, this is one of the first times Donkey Kong is playable, if not the first time.
You're right.
Donkey Kong was playable.
Yes.
Oh my goodness, I'm actually missing a thing on my timeline.
Uh-oh.
The other Donkey Kong... Nope, I just can't spell. The other Donkey Kong Micro Versus System game for the Game & Watch was Donkey Kong Hockey, which came out 3 months later. So yes, Donkey Kong 3 for the Game & Watch was the first playable showing from Donkey Kong Senior.
Yeah, and that's Donkey Kong playing against Mario in a game of field hockey.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I don't know why they haven't done a modern remake of that. Like, with the Snowmads being a thing, you would have thought that, like, Donkey Kong Hockey would be right for the reinterpretation.
Yeah, you would have thought. Yep. It's not as much spin-offs get made these days.
Yeah.
It's too bad.
Would have been a nice bongo game too.
Oh yeah, that Donkey Kong Hockey predates any other Mario sports game.
Yeah, that's actually also like the first Mario. Well, maybe not the first one. I think like some of the golf games came earlier, but
maybe. But they weren't called Mario Sport.
No, it was the first one.
Donkey Kong Sport. That's where it's at.
Yeah,
that's the only Donkey Kong branded sport game we've had.
There's a Aero Blast and Diddy Kong Racing, but I'm not sure those count.
Nah, not the way I'm talking about it.
Yeah, so Donkey Kong Game & Watch, still at it, still battling for control of the greenhouse, which may seem a little asinine, but later, once we're talking about the lasting legacy from this subsection of the series, you might see that this was more important, more was at stake than we originally thought.
Oh, did we mention that that Game & Watch multiplayer game was in Game & Watch Gallery 4 for the Game Boy Advance?
We had not mentioned that.
Yes.
In the modern version, they change it to Mario and Donkey Kong as opposed to Stanley and Donkey Kong, and it's a haunted house, and you're pushing boos back and forth at each other.
Yeah, and you're not shooting clouds of insecticide, you're shooting bubbles out of a little bubble gun.
Yeah, yeah.
So once again, Stanley was unfairly robbed of a playable appearance.
Yeah, it's a nice little thing, head-to-head, and it's got some resource management because you actually only have like a limited amount of shots in your fumigator, and you've got to like take time to refuel it, which leaves you vulnerable and open.
Yes.
And stuff. I actually found
I usually won by just spamming the button.
Yeah, the Game & Watch Gallery version is really, really easy because you just kind of spam it and the AI doesn't really know what to do to keep up with you. I just think from the limited hardware of the original release, you couldn't really rapid tap like that. Didn't register as much. Yeah, cool,
but again,
cool stuff.
We've never played the unit, so.
That is entirely fair. Which brings us to October of 1984, a couple months later, where two things came out involving Stanley. I'm not sure which was first.
Which one do you want to talk about first?
Let's talk about the game first, and then we can go to
All right, cool. So picking up on a segue we were talking earlier about the home computer market and other companies porting Nintendo games to those systems.
Yeah, Hudson Soft, which you may know from other products, had the license to do ports and port quills of Nintendo products. So they did like Mario Bros, but they also did Punchball Mario Bros and Mario Bros Special, which were sort of just Mario Bros with some extra elements in them. So for like Punchball Mario, had a little like rubber ball that you were bouncing around the screen and tried to get to a spot. And Mario Bros. Special was Mario Bros., but instead of just surviving all the waves of enemies, you're actually working your way up the sewers to like the end goal for each level. They also did ports of some of the Donkey Kong games.
And they did Super Mario Bros. Special, which is the most well-known one, probably. It's a version of Super Mario Bros., but with new stuff, new enemies taken from Donkey Kong in the arcade.
Some new power-ups.
Yep.
But not scrolling. So you'd get to the end of the screen.
I was going
to
say.
And it would
it's much harder
load
to play.
In the next part, which constantly caused me to fall into pits and die when I was playing that as a much younger child. Another thing Hudson did was they had contests where you could make your own game and send it in, and they would occasionally just do sort of releases of like, here are the contest winners, they won these things, here's an official release of their game. And
they basically published homebrew titles that people submitted to them.
And somebody and the only reason they probably got away with this is because Hudson already had the license to publish this, did a sequel to Donkey Kong 3 called Donkey Kong 3 Daigakushu, if I'm pronouncing that
correctly.
Daigakushu! It's two kanji. It's the kanji for big and the kanji for revenge. And so you can either read it as Donkey Kong 3 Big Revenge or Donkey Kong 3 Counterattack when reading the two kanji together as a single unit. And it's not a platformer shooter. It's just a shooter. The platforms are gone.
Stanley just moves back and forward on the bottom of the screen.
Yeah, and Donkey Kong is not supported atop a greenhouse. He's got little hot air balloons that he's clinging to and floats around.
Or parachutes.
Yeah, or parachutes, possibly. I don't know, because he like wafts back up. Maybe he's got like good currents or something. and waves of enemies come down, and you just basically survive all the waves of enemies, or shoot through all the waves of enemies.
You do still have to force Donkey Kong upwards by hitting him sometimes.
It's got 20 levels that it just cycles back to if you get through all of them, and it's just a surreal game because
the enemies are the same as in DK3. You've got the little flies and the worms, which I believe are called
Note, Stanley is actually in his red overalls and blue shirt in this one, like he is in the original arcade cabinet art. And never again. But the levels, as I was saying, are just surreal because it's 20 levels. The first 10 have Stanley chasing Donkey Kong across the countryside and eventually running into some aliens stealing their UFO, leaving the planet and chasing him past Saturn to a mysterious planet, as the level is called. And it's just weird.
Yes, this is literally true. We are not making this up. Should we read the level names?
Level.
So
level,
as SH level starts, a little description comes up.
And the background picture for each level is different. So you've got on the highway, yes, which is just sort of a barren highway, on the strange bridge, which is a bridge, on the country road. Again, these are kind of self-explanatory. Level 4 is where things start getting weird. It's the aliens, and you just have these weird, like, green hazmat suited aliens looking on.
They are really
creepy. Then you have the UFO, where you're in the cockpit of the UFO, leaving the Earth, which I believe is just sort of like a, you know, view of the planet, in the Astro Belt, A-S-T-R-O-W, Astro Belt.
Which is not a word, no.
I'm assuming this was not a native English speaker. Around the Saturn, I said that correctly, and a mysterious planet. And then continuity either goes out the window or we got zapped back in time, because
I think that there are geographical features on the mysterious planet.
This is entirely true.
On the desert
by the pyramid, in the cave, which I guess you could view as past the pyramid because the pyramid has this big chasm next to it, at the volcano, in the active crater, at the dome, which is like a biodome. On the ground picture, which looks like the Nazca lines.
So we're either back at Earth on that point, or
yeah, because at the runway,
or
I believe
the
it's
ancient
like
aliens
old,
that inspired the Nazca lines. Aliens
at the runway, which is sort of like an old, like World War One, World War Two style air hangar. A mushroom cloud, which is a nuclear mushroom cloud. At the sunset, which is just a pretty sunset, and in the city, which looks like a modern metropolis, if not for the giant ringed planet in the background over the horizon.
It's amazing.
So, as I commented on the forums when I was doing my initial write-up for that, it's some trippy shit. Came out for a couple different platforms. The PC-6601 engine, the Sharp X1... and like one or two
the
others.
The FM7, the PC-8801.
The Sharp
all,
X1
all the usual
is
ones
the
you'd expect.
Best version, graphically speaking.
Yes. But the only version that has a complete playthrough on YouTube so you can see all the backgrounds is from the PC-6601.
Yeah.
Which looks to be one of the least impressive graphically. But
and just by dint of Hudson having the license to publish their... sort of port quills of games like Mario Bros. Special. This is an officially licensed sequel.
So, oh yeah, it's a canonical installment in the Adventures of Stanley
so
the Bugman.
So for all of you who complained about Jungle Beat being just weird and trippy and having alien landscapes and random asteroid belts and just strange crap, this game came out in 1984. So yeah.
And yeah, not many people know about it just because Mario Wiki doesn't have an article on it. So
yeah, actually.
Maybe if we get our act together, we'll make one, but probably
yeah,
not.
Yeah, yeah.
And in case you were wondering who made this and submitted it to Hudson, on the corner of the screen constantly, on the sidebar that shows your score and everything, at the bottom in huge letters, it says written by ITA, I-T-A. So we don't know who that is, but they wanted you to know that they that they made the game.
Yep. Yeah, so that's it's an oddity and I love it.
Oh, it's so good. It's a sequel to Donkey Kong 3 and it's totally bonkers.
Yeah, the manual and stuff uses basically the same art as the Donkey Kong 3 stuff. I don't think it's got a proper manual since it was one of Hudson's like contest winner releases.
It had a boxed release.
It had a boxed release, but I don't know if it like had like not that things had much of a story at the time. But yeah,
well, it's
also
it's only what,
just
what we are,
strange
what we're able
for
to pick up
an
from
early
gameplay.
Donkey Kong game, and that it's got like 20 full levels. Because you like go from Donkey Kong and Junior and Mario Bros, which had four levels each, and then DK3, which had three, and then you have Daigakushu, which has 20. And granted, well, it's a much simpler levels, game.
Yeah, I mean, all the levels are functionally the same, right?
Yeah.
It's just enemies coming in from the top. Do the enemy behaviors change? I don't really know.
I think the patterns change, and they might like take more hits to kill, but yeah.
It's pretty similar.
Although, oh, and there's then, like, every stage. Five levels, there's a bonus level in between proper levels, so it's actually got something like 24 levels or something.
But then that's just you shooting a whole bunch of flies without Donkey Kong there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Anyway, that's a nice little obscure thing that not many people know about, so...
But also in October of 1984, if you want to cover that.
Yes, so we had an animated adaptation of Donkey Kong and Donkey Kong Jr. So there's a cartoon called Saturday Supercade. It's by the Ruby Spears Productions Company, who, I don't know, you might know them from the Mega Man cartoon or things like that.
The goggles, they do nothing.
They have one episode in the Donkey Kong segment. So the Saturday Supercade was a multi-cartoon kind of block that had different cartoons based on all sorts of arcade properties. So one of the segments was Donkey Kong, and one of them was Donkey Kong Jr., where, like, Jr. is traveling with this greaser on his motorbike trying to track down his dad who's running off after Mario. That's, like, continuity between the two, I guess.
Yeah.
But anyway, in Donkey Kong, the cartoon, one episode really late in the series is called Greenhouse Gorilla, and it features Stanley the Bugman in a kind of loose adaptation of the Donkey Kong 3 plot, kind of? Nah,
very
it's not.
Loose. Like, it starts very, out in the greenhouse. Loose. It starts out in the greenhouse.
It starts in a greenhouse. There's this bad guy. I don't know if he's in other episodes, but he wants to steal Stanley's carnivorous plants. Well, it's not actually carnivorous. It eats metal. So it's a really weird plant, but it's like this Shop of Horrors kind of talking plant kind of thing. And Stanley really loves this plant. He calls it Herman. Oh, here you go, Herman. Here's some nuts and bolts. Nom, 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 nom. It's like that.
Yeah.
And I should note that Stanley in this in the cartoon, he looks exactly like the artwork from the original flyer. So he's like squat, big head, same colors as he said earlier.
Yeah,
whereas
he's
Mario
not
and Pauline actually look more like real people. They're...
Yeah, Mario and Pauline and other arcade characters are stylized in sort of that, like, the style of that animation studio. But Stanley looks like Stanley from the arcade flyer art, so...
Stanley never changes. Well, except these colors, but...
Yeah. But anyway, he's obsessively bug spraying around, which gives this villain an opportunity to steal the plant. I'm not sure why. Maybe because it's a talking plant.
Yeah, he's gonna sell it or something, I don't know. And so the villain steals the plant. He blames it on Donkey Kong, or like he sort
he,
of coerces...
he slips on one of Donkey Kong's dropped banana peels, which sends the plant flying into the air into the hands of Donkey Kong, which causes some misunderstandings. DK is the one who's stolen the plant.
DK does actually run off with the plant, and so the villain's trying to get it back. Stanley's trying to get it back. And Stanley meets up with Mario and Pauline, who are traveling around in their van that's totally not the Mystery Machine.
It's totally the Mystery Machine.
Yeah, these people previously worked on Scooby-Doo and just ported over the van that they'd drawn for that show into this show.
The villain, who is named Mr. X in this page I'm looking at here, convinces DK to come with him. And they kind of just... go grocery shopping for stuff?
I guess
I don't know.
That's how this cartoon kind of works, right? Because Donkey Kong is kind of... he's sort of easily swayed by the villains,
DK is
the
lovable
right?
goof who just doesn't like being in the circus. Or maybe not even doesn't like being in the circus, just doesn't care. Just wants to go do stuff.
But he's kind of oblivious, so he gets conned into doing things. And then he's put into this antagonistic role against
Mario. But anyway, and Stanley teams up with Mario and Pauline to go after DK and the villain. So shenanigans in the supermarket ensue. You can imagine all of the, like, you know, throwing of food and slipping on stuff and et cetera, et cetera.
Slapstick.
Slapstick, basically. We then move locations briefly to a bit of a car chase and end up at a grand ball where you get to see everybody in tuxes, including the plant, who's wearing a little bow tie.
And Donkey Kong, who's wearing a hat. And
a full suit.
With shoes.
With shoes.
And Mario is seen hatless.
Uh-huh. Mario hatless, Stanley suited up, and Pauline dressed as a maid, of course. Which is weird, because of all the people there, canonically, she should be, like, the high society lady in the red dress, but eh.
Oh, really? What's her background?
That's a good question. I always kind of assumed, since they named her after Pauline from Perils of Pauline, that she was just a wealthy heiress.
And she's sort of an adventurer in her off time. Well, yeah. that's the Perils one. I don't know what
that's Pauline the Perils one does. In the material I have, which includes the Mario character encyclopedia and the activity books for Donkey Kong, she's just a pretty lady who was at the zoo that Donkey Kong was like, want me some of that, and busted out. I assume, since, like, she's the co-funder / owner of Mario's mini toys line in the Mario vs. Donkey Kong series, that she's filthy rich, since she's the one financing his entire toy operation
and
amusement parks. So
the cartoon ends. Yeah.
There's some shenanigans. Stanley jumps through a cake. You know, police show up. Mr. X gets caught. DK jumps out the window. You get Donkey Kong. And yeah, DK drives away. We'll get him next time.
I'll get you next time, DK.
Et cetera.
Took a turn.
Yeah, Mario moonlighting as Dr. Claw. We never get to see his face.
That's true.
But yeah, Saturday Supercade. That was the only time Stanley ever showed up. And while we were doing research for this episode, I don't think we discovered any, like, comic strips or anything with Stanley in them or anything.
Yeah, I mean, you can't rule it out just because of the sheer volume of manga that gets produced over there. I mean, I'm willing to bet that there must be a volume of 4-comma strips out there somewhere that has Stanley in it.
It's not out of possibility, but if you haven't found it, chronicler of all strips. Although, do you have the ones from the DK94 guide, or do I need to scan those for you?
4-comma strips. I didn't know there were DK94 ones, no.
The official DK94 guide also has a comic in it and a lot of, like, activity book stuff, like mazes.
Oh, okay,
stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know about that, because I was going to say that, a lot of these comics were made later. They were made in the Super Nintendo era. That's when Super Mario Kun started. That's when the comic Bomb Bomb started. So if they were going to do anything, it'd be DK94 based.
I guess they would have gone from the official byline of ignoring DK3 like the Mario character encyclopedia did.
In the Supercade, we don't know who voiced Stanley, because the credits just have a whole list of names. I'm not going to read them all out, but there's a lot of them. The only one it specifically credits is Soupy Sales as Donkey Kong.
And Peter Cullen was the voice of Mario. I was able to track that down, but yeah.
Cool. Well...
yeah,
he could be any one of these people.
And that sort of ends the major appearances, really.
Yes.
So, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games and a television episode. So
that's a pretty good record. Stanley, he got around
Yeah.
pretty well. So when was that? 1984 was the last thing?
Yeah, October 1984.
So he wouldn't be seen again until 2004? No, when's Malle?
2001.
Okay.
Got a nice trophy in Melee. I actually was happy with the quality of this.
Melee has good trophies. They made them all from scratch. That's what gives them some character.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you get things like, you've got Dixie Kong, which is cool, but she's quite off-model.
Yeah, Donkey Kong Jr. is a bit off-model, too.
Yeah, you're right.
But
Stanley looks pretty good.
Stanley looks pretty good.
Yeah, he's here shooting his spray gun upwards. He's got the blue shirt and the white overalls, so it's sort of based on the NES color scheme.
Oh, I guess it should be noted that Mr. Game & Watch has some moves based on Greenhouse and Donkey Kong.
Yeah,
Green.
His neutral air is the... Oh, I'm sorry, his neutral ground is the spray, sort of a consecutive spraying thing, yeah?
Yeah, so...
And his up air as well, I think? Or is that a Spitball Sparky thing?
Unclear. Yeah, it's a nice model. He's in his white overalls and blue shirt. He basically looks like a mustacheless Mario with a different shade of hair color and a different hairstyle. But he's got the same eyes and nose and body and shoes.
A big mouth.
Big mouth. And the sort of not buck tooth, but not full row of upper teeth that has sort of become standard to Stanley's design. It's present in the original arcade flyer art.
Yeah.
It's sort of, but they just kind of translated that into the 3D model. So he's got a bit of a, I wouldn't call it an overbite, but it's stylized teeth. Adds some character.
You mentioned he looks like Mario. Do you want to?
Go ahead and talk about that. Yeah.
Yes. So, you know, he's the protagonist of Donkey Kong 3. There's no Mario representation there.
Yeah.
But he's got a similar body shape to Mario. He's got the overalls.
And for a long while, it was reported as fact. And then when people tried to track down where this was from, they couldn't find where it was from. So it was changed to be purported was that he was Mario's cousin.
Right. Do you think that's
which
some
I think is just one of those perceived wisdom things, like DK was abused, which is why he escaped, which doesn't actually come from anywhere.
Maybe it was published in Nintendo Power or something.
Who knows?
Maybe. Who knows?
Along with Daisy Kong.
Oh god. Yes.
So it's long been speculated and just sort of assumed that he has some relation to Mario. And then there was an interview in 2013, I think?
Yes. Yeah. So Miyamoto was speaking to Jeff Keighley on GTTV. I've got it here reported by My Nintendo News. And
thanks to our fellow forum members for tipping us off to this. I can't remember specifically who it was, but...
we just rediscovered it recently. Yeah. And like, this is kind of a strangely worded quote, so... he was asked about, you know, Mario future games and stuff, and in reply he says, "I don't know what type of games I'm going to make in the future. Perhaps there will come a day when Mario needs a third brother, and so at that point maybe we'll create him." So, you know, there might be another Mario brother someday, but
could be read as Mario the franchise needs a third brother, Mario and Luigi first two. It can also easily be read as Mario the person needs a third brother, and it's like, who's the second brother? So, totally fun, speculative, just headcanon, fan wang.
Stanley, long lost, or not long lost, but just sort of the younger Mario brother. So you got the twins, and then Stanley came along later.
Yeah.
Totally the third Mario, but Stanley Mario, his name is Stanley Mario. That's my new headcanon.
Mario, Mario, Luigi, Mario, Stanley, Mario.
Yep, and so the Mario brothers went to the Mushroom Kingdom. Stanley stayed behind on Earth.
Stanley stayed behind on Juicy Jungle as a nice segue into our next lasting legacy topic.
Oh, snap.
In Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze, the second to last world... before you get back to DK Island is Juicy Jungle. And it's overrun by these carnivorous plants. There's a beehive area. It's really cool. There's some factory where they juice the plants and turn them into
giant fruits.
And they juice them, and the Snomads, the antagonists of the game, have taken it over and turned it into a giant, like, slushy and popsicle factory. But in the background of one of the stages, Fruity Factory, which is the third stage on the island, can be seen Stanley's greenhouse from Donkey Kong 3, just kind of fallen into disrepair with the fumigator, like, propped up on a crate.
Yeah, it's like a complete modern recreation of that stage layout.
Yeah.
Just in the background of this stage. It's just after the first checkpoint, I think.
Mm-hmm. It's behind a broken segment of wall in the factory. There's some windows looking out, and then the wall has crumbled away, and behind the wall is this greenhouse, and it's got an open roof, although it looks like the roof has kind of crumbled into disrepair, and the trees on the side have become overgrown. The vines in the back are kind of all over the place. The flowers are kind of going everywhere. The fumigator is set on a crate. It's just right behind the checkpoint, actually.
So it's an awesome little Easter egg, but it also sort of informs...
It also sort of infers that this is the island that Donkey Kong 3 took place on.
Totally.
And if you look at that in context, especially combined with Saturday Supercade, which has Stanley having a little shop of horrors carnivorous plant, the Juicy Jungle's overrun with giant carnivorous plants.
So, like, you know, then you can go back and think, why was Donkey Kong in this greenhouse? What was his goal?
And it's
Stanley was keeping these carnivorous plants, possibly.
Stanley's keeping
was Donkey Kong
plans.
There to try and stop him from cultivating these dangerous plants?
Yeah.
And using the insects to try and as an ally to help get rid of him.
Of course, that kind of backfired, since in the Game & Watch title you have the bees just indiscriminately attacking both of them.
Well, that's how you beat Donkey Kong, is sticking his head in the beehives. Insects. They're wild creatures.
So yeah, it's sort of a like probably was intended as just a little Easter egg, but actually fits nicely into the established lore, such as it is, sort of dovetails nicely with all that, with the carnivorous plants and the beehive elsewhere on the island and stuff.
Totally.
But yeah.
You never knew that Stanley had such deep lores.
Yeah. And in the concept art for Tropical Freeze, it's revealed that the pigs, which Professor Chops is a member of that particular tribe of pigs, rather, they were inhabitants of this island before the Snomads took over.
Yeah, they seem to be living there, possibly running the factory themselves.
Yeah. So yeah, that's really
cool.
So
did the pigs hire Stanley, or like...
Did they move in after Stanley left?
Yeah.
What happened to Stanley's cat?
This is for the fanfic writers to decide.
Yeah. If the bees pollinating the plants is what turned these things giant and carnivorous, we can assume that the cat getting repeatedly stung mutated him into Cat of Nine Tails from Donkey Kong Country 2.
So is there only one Cat of Nine Tails, or
that?
Because
there's
that
fairly
one screen.
There's
on
at
the...
least there's that one segment of the level which just has a bunch.
I think
of
it's in Screech's Sprint. There's two of them that come at you from both sides,
at
and there's brambles
two.
On top.
Yeah. But and the cat's in black and white. I don't even know what color it is. Stanley had a cat. It's gone now. We don't talk about it. So.
Do we talk about? What's next?
He shows up in some micro games and stuff.
Yep, WarioWare. So WarioWare. First we got Twisted on the GBA.
Yeah.
2004. You tilt the Game Boy Advance, and Stanley's on this sort of big rotating wheel. And he's shooting upwards, and DK's swinging back and forth on these vines. So normally he's just straight up and down in DK3, but the tilt sensor makes him swing back and forth in this version.
Yeah. There is this Game & Watch gallery as well. There's WarioWare Touched and WarioWare
Yep.
DIY Showcase.
I want to talk about Touch because it's really interesting.
Okay, go ahead.
It uses both screens of the DS. So Stanley's all the way at the bottom, DK's all the way at the top, and it makes the greenhouse look really tall. And so it uses the DS microphone. And so, in the context of this game, instead of spraying at him with the insecticide, Stanley is just blowing with his own lungs,
Oh
just
yeah, I
blowing
remember
huge
that.
puffs of air as you blow into the microphone up at DK. So you can, and Stanley has really powerful lung strength.
Nice.
Yeah. And then yeah, he's also in DIY Showcase, which is the WiiWare accompaniment to WarioWare DIY,
Yeah, and
which is just a sort of recreation, a bit smaller, of DK3. You got to
yeah.
shoot up at DK, but you have to try and avoid hitting the caterpillar, worm, snake things to just hit DK instead.
And then
Any
of
small time you have.
he's also in NES Remix more recently. Although while there were several games that got sort of actual like remix challenges like Zelda and Mario or like the Donkey Kong Luigi edition where the screen is flipped and stuff, I don't think there was really much of anything for Donkey Kong 3 just beyond the normal challenges.
Yeah, just some mini challenges of the actual gameplay. I mean,
Yeah.
it's got the sort of updated visuals and nice drop shadow, and it's all bright and colorful and stuff, but
Yeah.
it's, yeah, just the same sprites.
Mm-hmm.
The NES sprites, we should say, with the
Yeah,
blue
the NES
hair.
sprites.
Yeah, blue hair, white overalls. And that's the same for the WarioWare ones too. They're all based on the NES sprites.
And then I want to say there might be some badges in Badge Arcade, but I don't know.
Ah, good question. I don't recall seeing any, but there's so many, and they change a lot. And all three regions have completely different release schedules.
Oh, that's fair. And they have some really esoteric badges in Badge Arcade, but yeah, who knows?
Who knows?
Mario Wiki doesn't seem to have DK3 listed under their stuff for Badge Arcade, but I know for a fact there's some stuff in that's not listed on Mario Wiki. So who knows how
Yeah.
accurate that is? Yeah. Like it was
Think
cool that
we've.
we got the cameo in Juicy Jungle and Tropical Freeze because like DK3 was one of the things that hadn't really been fleshed out yet. Like obviously like you've got Donkey Kong 94 which fleshed out the first game and then other Donkey Kong games which expand on that like Big Ape City in Donkey Kong Land
Yeah.
and Factory in Returns. But Factory in Returns also borrows a lot from Mario's Hideout in Donkey Kong Jr. And stuff. And you can sort of, as does DK94 and other games. And there's just a lot of stuff. I think even the Wii version of Jungle Beat has some Donkey Kong Jr. stuff in it, as some of the new additions there. But DK3 just doesn't really get a lot of love ever. So it was cool to see. Just sort of a, like, it probably wasn't the intent, but a whole world in the game as just sort of an homage to DK3 and its legacy.
Yeah, really great to see.
On sort of a more abstract level, just going from the Miyamoto wanted to try something different and do sort of a shooter platformer and do something with that. I think if you tried to look for a modern game, modern Nintendo game that did sort of the action platformer with shooter elements, I think Sunshine actually is a good example of sort of the spiritual descendant of that sort of, hey, let's play around with this concept a bit.
Yeah. It doesn't have Stanley though, so screw it.
No, yeah. There's a revisionist history. Yeah, I don't know. You want to talk about like Stanley the Ghost for a second?
Yes, bombshell. So I searched for Stanley on Mario Wiki, and it comes up with three results. Stanley the Bugman, who is not called Stanley the Bugman on Mario Wiki because people aren't sure whether the Bugman is a proper part of his title, but come on, it totally
actually,
is.
Actually, we can talk about that for a second, too.
All right, we'll cover that.
In Mario Mania, which was an old book that I don't actually have, and I think you're more familiar with, so why don't you do that?
Yeah, I've got a scan of it right here. Mario Mania, it's a bit like your guide you were talking about before, the Japanese guide. What was that called?
The Mario Character Encyclopedia?
Yeah, it's like that, but less comprehensive. It's actually, there's a whole lot of Mario World strategy stuff in it, but there's also a small section on Mario's history. It covers the cartoons and Supercade. It covers merchandise, and there's a section on the Donkey Kong arcade games. So, Stanley the Bugman, not Mario, was Donkey Kong's nemesis in Donkey Kong 3. So there's a brief mention of... Donkey Kong 3.
And Bugman is capitalized.
Yes. Bugman is capitalized in a caption on a picture. It's also capitalized in the paragraph just to the left of that, which explains the game.
Because in the manual for Donkey Kong 3 on NES, Bugman is not capitalized when they're talking about like Stanley.
Yeah, it does say Stanley the Bugman, but it's not capitalized. It's sort of just his job description.
It's job description as opposed to a Time Lord title. So.
Oh, yes, totally. Yeah. So there is at least one official source that capitalizes Bugman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Stanley the Ghost. So.
Stanley the Ghost. Okay, so we've got Stanley the Talking Fish from the Valiant Comics Nintendo comic system. But there's also Stanley Abu from the game Paper Mario. And I wanted to try and get to that point in my game, but I have it saved right at the end of the game and I couldn't get back to Gusty Gulch in time. So basically there's a whole bunch of boos in this town. In this chapter, Tubba Blubber, who's this big... I don't know, is he based on a spike or...
Maybe he's
yeah. There's
sort of in
there's a few of them in the
family of enemies.
Yeah, Koopa-like creatures, but he's this giant
a big Frankenstein
thing
body with an artificial body anyway. So
yeah, and he's like extracted his heart.
Spoilers
and hidden it somewhere.
For a really old game.
Paper Mario is so good. Anyway, he eats the booze somehow. Like it's unclear whether booze are actually like dead people or some other kind of creature. Because, you know, in Luigi's Mansion, you've got realistic-looking ghost people and then Boos next to them.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's possible that Boos are sort of an ectoplasmic residue after someone's self-image has degraded. This is just stuff I'm making up on the spot.
Yeah.
But, Goombario lets you tattle any character you can talk to. So I think that's where they've got the name Stanley from. But there's a Boo in Gusty Gulch called... Stanley.
Which you know could be why we haven't seen him in a while. Or
his Stanley
could be because
dead.
He's advertising bootleg consoles in Mexico. I recently found on Twitter a bootleg console called the Power Station 3 Consola de Videojuegos. And it actually all of the pictures on this box are NES games, which is hilarious. But the mascot figure advertising this is a Mario render without the mustache, wearing red overalls and blue shirt. The blue shirt has jiggies on it from Banjo-Kazooie, by the way. He's wearing a red cap and a power cape. But it's like
and the,
maybe
the cap
mainly
says P on it?
Stanley went to a foreign country and is just doing whatever work he can come across. The cap has a P on it for Power Station.
He's using his resemblance to Mario to as like a cheap way of selling consoles to impersonate his more famous brother. Yep, his brother.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Probably not, but I found it amusing.
Yeah, he might be dead. He might be advertising bootlegs. Either way, in this universe, he's not up to much.
He's off bumming around with Foreman Spike. Yeah.
I want to see that spin-off. I want to see that sitcom.
I know, right?
I do want to mention...
A mean motherfucker. Like in the character encyclopedia, it's just like the description of him is just like, now he's actually evil. He just wants to kill them.
Like, good grief.
Yeah.
Is that going to be your next episode?
Maybe. Spike Spotlight. Yes.
It'll happen someday.
Yeah. So, do you want to talk about the enemies and stuff? I know we touched on that when we were doing research with all the like the bee spies and buzzbees and stuff. This is the first Donkey Kong game with bees.
Yeah,
so that's cool. So like, and if you were wondering why like zingers and buzzes and whatnot are so prominent, they were sort of the only other enemy type associated with Donkey Kong for a long while, besides the snap jaws, which everybody thought were little crocodile things. But we're in fact mechanical bear traps that Mario was sicking on our favorite apes. Think about that for a second. But anyway, yeah.
Crazy.
So we already know he has a penchant for making little clockwork critters when he gets in the toy business. But anyway.
I see.
Yeah, most of the enemies in DK3 are bees of some sort.
Yes. And like you said, that carries through into Tropical Freeze, where there's a whole race of bees there and the whole level dedicated to them.
There's also some beetles and flies. I think we determined the flies actually look very similar to not necessarily fighter flies from Mario Bros., but maybe some of like the Super Mario Land enemies.
Yeah, they're similar. There's a few enemies like that throughout the Mario series.
And then there's like the creepies, which are little caterpillar guys, or I guess in the NES manual they say they're snakes. But
they do say that. I don't know why they say that, but they do.
Yeah. You can find some enemies in, I think, Wario Land 2, which kind of look like them. But again, they don't really show up anywhere else. They're unique.
They also look a little bit like some of the insects you see in Nat Attack in Mario Paint.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I'm comparing this sort of manual drawing, which I can't really see matching up to any particular thing on the sprite sheet. But it looks a lot like this wasp kind of thing in Nat Attack. Anyway, there's flies all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
They're a bit like fighter flies, but flies actually predate these ones, right?
Yeah.
By
a couple months, yeah. Because Mario Bros. Came out before DK3, but 84 was definitely the year of the split. But yeah.
Bee spies, bee bombs, butterflies,
Buzzbees, queen buzzbees, beetles, creepies, moths,
vine eaters.
Vine eaters, which are just kind of weird abstract things that come out and eat vines when you start running out of timer on a stage. Which I guess forces DK to fall, but causes DK to fall on Stanley, losing your life because you didn't.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
Couldn't get out of the way. So yeah, I mean, his greenhouse is bloody overrun with insects, so he's not doing his job very well, is he?
Yeah, he's kind of a poor fumigator.
Mm.
And is it really his greenhouse, or is he just the person who's been asked to come in and fumigate it?
There's the question.
Maybe it's DK's greenhouse. Who knows?
Maybe it was his all along. So Stanley's coming in to steal the flowers?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It should be noted, this is DK Sr., who is cranky in the Donkey Kong Country series.
Very important.
So, Cranky, noted mad scientist who screws around with potions to Hulk out and give his family members weird powers. So maybe there's a reason the island's overrun with giant man-eating plants.
And giant man-eating bugs.
Maybe this is just one of Cranky's early screw-ups and he doesn't like to talk about it. Who knows? I don't know. Got anything else on the topic of note?
Okay, I do want to mention another thing.
Okay.
So, Stanley in our reality, you know, not that popular a character, didn't get too much, you know, sequels and stuff, unlike Mario.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a feature on DK Vine a while ago.
Yes, of course.
Yes, written by the fantastic and wonderful Matt Corner.
For the anniversary of Donkey Kong 3, I believe.
Mm-hmm. With the help of Darren McLean Jones.
Mm-hmm.
31 Years of Stanley the Bugman is the title of the feature. You can find it at dkvine.com/features/Stanley. And it is amazing. It is like a page done up to look like a spoof of like any gaming news site. There's parody headlines in the sidebar. And it's got a fictional history of the Mario series, but in every case and in every Donkey Kong game and Mario game, he's been swapped out for Stanley. And it shows the evolution of this fictional version of Stanley.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
And yeah, it is great. I mean, the photoshops he's done are so good that one of these images, which is an alteration of the cabinet art to change the red overalls, blue, wait, what was it?
Red overalls,
blue shirt to overalls, white overalls.
White overalls, blue shirt.
Yes, we're getting confused again. But anyway, he's put the blue hair on him and stuff, just like his NES sprite. And I saw another site taking that image that Matt had altered and using it to talk about Donkey Kong 3. So, yeah, you've got Super Stanley Brothers, Super Stanley Brothers 2 USA again. You've got the spin-off where instead of Yoshi's Island, it's like this big fat green dog called Greffin.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. The movie Super Stanley Brothers with Bob Hoskins as Stanley.
Yep.
And then a Donkey Kong Country ripoff, Stanley the Bugman Country. Stanley the Bugman Country 2, Leonard's Wacky Trouble, etc., etc. And so Stanley has his own little family of weirdos who accompany him. Stanley the Bugman 64, wherein Matt has also done, he's done an alteration of the DK rap to be the SB rap by Brent Windpipe.
Yeah.
And just everything in this article is fantastic.
Yeah, it sounds silly, absurd, silly, but a lot of reverent work went into it. So I highly recommend giving it
a look.
It's just,
you know,
it's fun.
It's what could have been with Stanley if he'd really taken off.
Yeah. But yeah, Stanley and Donkey Kong 3 and... Yeah, that was that.
Will he ever return?
You goddamn right. Just a matter of when. Probably going to coincidentally be around the time I finally get hired by Nintendo.
Sheer coincidence. But until then, we're going to keep the dream alive here at dkgota.com.
Yep. Yeah.
Stanley.
Yay.
Stanley.
Stanley. Baby Stanley for Yoshi's Island 4.
Oh, yes! Oh, that would be amazing. It would give him a little projectile that shoots upwards. Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You could be in a greenhouse world with all insects.
Yoshi's Island 4, Mario and Luigi have grown up a little bit. They've got a little brother, and they're totally pissed off about it, so they, like, kick him off a cliff, and the stork has to bring him home.
Oh, you're hurting my heart, because all my dreams are being fulfilled in this conversation.
Thanks for being on, Milo.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Anytime, I'll be here for you.
Except, like, we're on opposite sides of the country, so it was kind of fortuitous that we were actually awake at the same time to record this.
But... yeah, it's a rare occurrence. Don't have to go to work today, so.
And by country, I mean planet. So.
Yes, planet. this global country of ours, this big round country.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Leaving the Earth into the astral belt, spaceship beyond Earth. The Saturn.
In the UFO with the creepy aliens, we'll travel to the pyramid and the long cave.
And I don't know how to end this, so we're just going to end it right there.
Ba ba da ba ba.